Oh, glory to God. I sought the Lord. And he heard. And he answered. We take for granted, brethren, the fact that we're sitting here. This morning we were rushing to come to church. Our children didn't make them on my own. Our children are with their cousins today, worshiping. And as my wife and I are coming to church, just didn't feel right. Shepherd just stood there just a little bit past Alan, coming around the bend. A lady in a black SUV did not look. And I'm coming. And when our eyes met, she saw Jesus. You're not with me. There's not enough time for me to stop. And she's not going fast enough. And I hit the horn. And in my head, I told my wife, I just said, "Oh God, Sue." Because I was thinking, my children are orphans this morning. But I sought the Lord. He heard. And he answered. And I don't know how, but her vehicle moved and mine went through. So when we sing, "Trust and Obey," I sought the Lord, he heard, and he answered. I'll say, "Yes, Lord, yes." And who is on the Lord's side? When the fantastic mother and daughter tandem sing praise and worship, when we come into the house of God, I don't know about you, but nobody has to coax me to say thank you, Jesus. Nobody needs to prod me to give God thanks and praise. I should not be here today, but by the grace of God, I am standing. So today, we're going to talk just a little bit about a walk with God. Heavenly Father, today is yours. Speak. We are listening. In Jesus' name. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. A few months ago, we preached from this very same book. We're going to go further down in the passage, Matthew chapter 14. We're going to begin reading at verse 22. Matthew chapter 14, and it reads, "Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he, Jesus, sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent them away, he went up on a mountain by himself. He, being Jesus, went up on the mountain by himself to pray. He, being Jesus, went up on the mountain by himself to pray. I'll park there till you're with me. He, being Jesus, went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when the evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now it was the fourth watch of the night. Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a dopey." Sorry, "it is a ghost." For they cried out in fear. But immediately, second time the words used in this passage, immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." And immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer." It should translate and read like this: "Be of good cheer, do not be afraid, I am." Then Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, command me, and I will come to you on the water." So Jesus says here, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to Jesus. But when he saw the wind and the waves that were boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately, third time preacher, immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, praise God, and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" But when they got back into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat, 33, finally came and worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Here's what I find interesting. The beginning of John 14, Jesus is in grief. John, his cousin, has been beheaded because of the wickedness of Herod. Jesus learns of this and retreats, but the crowds follow him, preach. And then he's moved with compassion, so much so, elder, that there are 5,000 men plus women and children who are there in the midst. And Jesus performs one of two miracles where he feeds over 4,000 people. And after he feeds this close to 10,000 throng of individuals, after he heals all of these people, he sends his disciples away. It's Jesus who tells them, "Get in the boat and go to the other side. I need to spend a little time with God on my own." Brethren, let me pause here for a moment. It is good when you come to church and we gather together and pray. It is good when we have the elders come together and we pray with you. It is good as pastors for us to pray with you. But if you can't go one-on-one with the Great One on your own, Jesus shows us in the midst of his grief that the only healing he needs is to go to the Father himself. And I'm not knocking those who are in that field of psychology and counseling. We need that. Amen? No, we need that. Amen? We need that. Amen? Because we are going through a hardship in this world. But make no mistake about it. Earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. There's a time for us, brethren, to come together and pray. We spent the whole month of January praying together, and it's been transformative. But eventually, from this moment forward, we've got to get into our own prayer closet and go to war with God on our side and petition heaven, because there are certain pains that can't get taken away unless you go to God yourself. Brethren, I will pray for you to the best of my ability, but God needs to hear your voice on your behalf for your issues. And don't think that just because I have a title that my prayer means more, because my Bible tells me that if he can hear the little children, if he can take care of the sparrow, then he will hear you in your moment far greater than I, because you don't even know how wicked and sinful I am. I mean, I look good. Does it mean my heart's good? Jesus makes his disciples go away so that he can spend time with God. The Bible says, as he's there on the mountain, he overlooks and he sees his disciples, and they're there. Now, understand the timeline, brethren. He sends them away while it's daylight. The Bible says he sends them away, and when the evening has come, so the period before the evening is around the afternoon time. And as he's sending them away in the boat, they begin to go on their journey. And when the fourth watch, according to, you know, the Romans calendar of how they do the watches. The Jews uses three watches each night. The Romans use four. So we're looking at a time period of anywhere between 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock in the morning. I don't know if you've ever had to take a journey where you had to drive all night. I remember we were dating. Just graduated Andrews University. And I wanted to drive from Toronto back to Alberta because that's the conference that hired me. So we're in my house. Sue comes by and we pray. Mom prays. My sister's there. And my sister starts to cry because she knows her brother. I told them I would stop when I'm tired. But I had a sunroof. And when I get tired, I open the sunroof. Now, do not try this at home, kids. Put the car in cruise, put my head above, let the wind hit me in my face when I'm getting tired, and I come back down and drive again. And I drove from Toronto through the States, Windsor, into Chicago, up into Saskatchewan, through North Dakota, and went into Alberta, went up all the way to Calgary. And then drove for 36 straight hours. Now, I told them after I made it back, because if I told them during the journey, Elder Andrews, I sought the Lord. But that's a mistake I will never make again. But you see, that 2 to 4 window in the morning is the period where you are the most tired. Where your body is just exhausted. I can imagine the disciples, you left in the afternoon, and now it's that 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, and you've been toiling all night, and not just toiling all night rowing, but there's a fierce storm that is working against you, so you only make it to halfway through. And as Jesus sees his disciples struggling, the Bible says he begins to walk towards them. Notice the disciples, preach, never questioned how Jesus is getting to the other side. He sent them to go. In their mind, he's either going to go around or he's going to take a boat across. But in that 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning type of moment, and the moon, and all of a sudden you see somebody do this on water. Do you know how many you see, Adventists have the state of the dead, right? We believe in the state of the dead. We believe that the dead know nothing. The dead is resting until Jesus comes. Let every one of us see somebody walk on water in the middle of the night. All of a sudden, strength renew. First thing they say, it's a ghost. Because in their culture, the spirit or whatever, the soul, whatever they believe that is, lingers for a few days. So they're thinking somebody who died recently, less than 3-4 days, is on their way towards them. And fear grips them. Jesus is still a long way off, but he reads their fear. And he begins to speak. And he says, do not be afraid. I am. The last time he gave his name, it was to Moses on a mountain, because the people wouldn't believe who he was. And so he says, my name is I am who I am. Meaning, I will be what I will be in that moment for whatever I choose it to be. And in this moment, they should have recognized his voice when he said, don't be afraid, I am. But one out of 12. One out of 12 said, God, if it's really you, tell me to come. Now the word here, come, it's an imperative in Greek. And what an imperative is, it's not a suggestion, it's a command. Jesus tells him, come. So can you imagine 12 of us? Now I'm not going to bring 12 of you up here. 12 of us, preach, are in the boat. And I say, Jesus, if it's you, tell me to come. And all the elders are behind me. Well, go on. If you aren't dead so fast, go on. And I begin to climb down. He said to come, so I'm going. And the moment my foot hits the water, it's not buoyant, it's firm. And now I take another step down, and I'm feeling nice, because now I'm looking to Jesus, and I'm walking. But you see, the moment that I see the wind, and this is where my mind just begins to race a little bit, because I don't know the color of wind. I know the results of wind, but I can't see wind. You see, Peter doesn't see what is blowing. He sees the results of what is blowing, and he begins to doubt and be in fear. Just like us today, we don't see the enemy, but we see the results of what the enemy is doing. And when we see the results of what the enemy is doing, fear comes upon our heart. I think I might be the only one today. Because when you have more bills than money, fear creeps in. When you've got sickness ravaging your body, fear creeps in. When you've got to go to the doctor and they tell you you have the potential for cancer, fear rocks in. When you sit there and you're in that moment where your life is in danger, fear rocks in. But Peter took his eyes off of Jesus and began to see the problems. And the moment he did that, he began to sink immediately. And our uncle author's stories make it seem as if Peter is gracefully, gently going down into the water. I don't know about you, but if you ever, who's been swimming? I know most Most people from the land. Surrounded by water. Can't swim. But if you ever stepped into the water, it's a great mystery, preach. I mean, in Canada, all of our lakes are frozen, so we have to learn how to swim. But anyhow, you go into the water, you will begin to sink immediately. Jesus is still a great distance away, brethren. But the Bible uses the second immediately. Come here, preach. Stand here. Stand there. At this distance, in that vast body of water, I cannot get to her in time before she goes under. True? True? So she's going down. And while she's going down underneath the water, the Bible says immediately, because what God does, because he's not confined to time and space like we are, what God does, he closes the gap in less than a millisecond. So while you're praying, Lord, help me, he's already there just when you need him. You see, brethren, we have this mixed up conception in our minds that it takes God a long while to get to where we are. But I stopped by today to remind somebody that you don't even have to pray the eloquent prayers. O thou who sits among the cherubims and the seraphims. He's not about all of that right then and there. Because when you're dying and going down into the grave, sometimes all you've got time for is to say, Jesus! And he's on his way. I stop by today, brethren, to tell you that when you go to God yourself and you begin to call on the name of the Lord, immediately he moves heaven and earth and he positions himself to where you are because your salvation is primarily on his mind. That's why we sing, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. When we pray to God, we don't have to go with the big eloquence. You just call on his name. I wish there was a witness today who could testify that when they called on the name of Jesus, Jesus came through. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. That's why I trust him. I remember when I was younger. Okay. I remember when I was younger. We just moved, and we moved in with my aunt. And we were in the basement. We had to share a room, my brother, my sister, myself. My sister had her bed over to the corner. My brother and I are here. And they're dead asleep. But in the middle of the night, preach, I'm awake. And I'm looking around the room. And it begins to get red. And my heart begins to pound. And I'm telling myself this, I must be dreaming. Because this is every horror movie that I have seen unfolding. Now, don't watch horror movies. See, they mess with your mind. But my eyes turn sideways, and I'm seeing my brother. And my eyes turn sideways, and I can see my sister. But my body can't move. And I am paralyzed. And I look forward, and I see a figure of a man in black moving towards me. And I'm screaming in my head because nothing is coming out. My first inclination is to cry to my, if you know my dad, all I have to do is cry out, Daddy, and he, boom, he's on his way. But nothing is coming out. And then I remember my parents ingraining in us that in your troublesome moments, you call on the name of Jesus. And I began to say, Jesus, save me. And he kept coming closer. Jesus, save me. And he kept coming closer till I just said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And just when he's about to reach and touch my foot, he disappears and the room, the red is gone and I can move again. And I got up and I ran to my parents' room. Big man like me run to my parents' room, right? And I'm like, Dad, I wasn't sleeping. I wasn't dreaming. This is what happened to me. And he knelt down and he prayed with me right then and there. God, the enemy wants him. So cover him and protect him. And he prayed over me in that moment. I tell you, brethren, that in your moments, you may not have the eloquent speech to go and riddle off. But when you call on the name of Jesus, he may not show up when you want him, but he's always on time. And when he shows up, the enemy has to flee, because in his presence, sin cannot stand. That's why the demoniac and the demons, the multitude of demons, the legion, wanted him to move from his presence, because they can't stand in his. And so when God is near you, when you call on his name, God answers prayer. This is why, brethren, it's important for us to encourage our children and their children's day of prayer to keep praying, keep trusting God. This is why it's important, mothers, fathers, grandparents, to pray for your children and your grandchildren and hear, let them hear you call their name in prayer. Because when the rubber hits the road, they know that when trouble hits, the only name they call is Jesus. It amazes me, preach, that even those who don't believe in God when something happens, they're not saying, oh, Donald Trump. They're not saying, oh, Mark Carney. They're not saying, oh, King Charles. The first name they call is the one they don't believe in. But because he's faithful, because he's just, and because he's true, he still shows up for those who don't believe in him. That's the God we serve, preach. He's not just showing up for us. He shows up for anyone who calls his name with a sincere heart. You may not know him. You may not have a relationship with him. But when you call on him, he will be there right on time. Bible says, when he saves Peter, he talks to Peter and he says to him, where's your faith? You see, brethren, let's remember the sequence of events. Less than 24 hours ago, he took 5 loaves and 2 fish and broke them and fed a multitude of people. So much so that 12 baskets were picked up full. Prior to that, he hears the demoniac crying from the Gerasenes, and he calms the storm with them in the boat with him while he's asleep. He's shown you enough evidence for you to know he's always there. So where's your faith? You want a deeper relationship with God, but you won't spend time praying with him. Where's your faith? You want a deeper relationship with God, but you won't take time, you won't make time to open your Bible and read. Where's your faith? You want that deeper connection, but you won't commit to him. Where's your faith? God's not about the show. You see, Peter stepped down and Peter began to walk.
Peter took his eyes off of God. The Bible says, that preach after he saves Peter, they walk back to the boat, but the storm is still raging. Sometimes God doesn't calm the storm. He walks you through it. My last point, and I'm going to take my seat. The 12 knew that they were fishermen. They could handle seas. 11 decided it is safer, it is better to stay in the boat. One decided it's safer to be with Jesus on the water. Where are we today? ...2026 has begun, and for some of us it started off rough. For others, it will get rough and rougher. But I submit to you today that anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. It is better to be on the sea in the storm with Jesus than to be in the boat cowering for fear. I don't know about you. I can't even see you. I took off my glasses. But I know this. In this year, Jesus in the mix, I'm going to walk on water with Jesus. And if I drown, I drown. But if he bids me come, I'm going. And I'm going to walk with him. And by God's grace, I'm going to put blinders on my eyes so that I don't see the results of what the enemy is trying to do. But I see the results of what God is doing. Because if I'm walking on water, Kenesha, I'm doing something that is out of the ordinary in the midst of my storm. It can blow, it can howl, but my house can never fall down because God is the sustainer of my life. I will walk with thee, my Savior, wheresoe'er thy lot may be, where thou goest in a storm, where thou goest in a desert, where thou goest at work, where thou goest at home, where thou goest, I will gladly follow thee. Today, as we end our prayer month, we don't end our petitions of prayer. Today we double down, going into February, knowing that the only way we get out is with Jesus on our side. We, Downsview, hear me. We will not focus on the storm. We will not focus on the storm. We will focus on the one who calms the storm. Understand me, brethren. Yes, I know the roof is leaking, but I know the one who can fix the roof. Yes, I know our homes are broken, but I know the one who can mend our homes. Yes, I know we are fragmented as a people, but I know the one who could bring us back together again. Yes, I know we've got hardships, but I know the one who will see us through. And if you're in the boat, you miss the blessing. So today, first call is for anyone who has not tried Jesus. I'm not going to call you up here. Not into the spectacle. What I am going to do is have you raise your hand. You want to surrender to God but you just need a little help. Raise your hand wherever you may be. Praise God. Praise God. Elder Skeen, I want you to go and pray with those that keep them up. Elder Green, pray for the hands that are somewhere near you. Keep them up. Praise the Lord. Where's my other elders? Elder Taylor, come and pray with these hands back here. We're going to take our time. There's nothing more important than salvation. Keep your hands up. Let's pray. The elders are going to come and pray with you. Whoever has your hand up, keep them up. There's a hand in the back. Elder Taylor, please go and pray with that hand in the back. There's another hand over here. Pastor, can I just get you to come down off the praise team and go pray with that hand that is there? There are two hands in this back corner here. The rest of the brethren, don't watch, pray. Don't look at me, close your eyes, pray. Prayer moment. Prayer moment. Sister Bev, I want you to pray with that hand in the back there for me, please. As they're praying, we praise God for your courage to put your hands up. The second appeal is for us who've been walking with Jesus. We have two options. We could be the 11 in the boat, or we could be the one on the water. If you want true safety, the best place to be is in the hands of Jesus. As the praise team sings, I'm going to invite you to make your way forward. And we're going to pray together that God will give us the courage to step out of our comfort zone and to walk with Him because we trust Him.